Now, Clarity from Chaos on TalkZone.com, the show that focuses on the innovative solutions to today's issues. Here's your host, Dave Campbell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Clarity from Chaos. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1 on Talk Zone Radio. I'm your host, Dave Campbell. If you'd like to join the show, it's 1-888-GO-FOR-IT, which is pretty fitting, or 1-888-463-6748. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can drop me an email at info@clarityfromchaos.com. Or you can also go out to my website, which is info@thecampbellgroup.co. Or you can drop me a note on Twitter, which is @CampbellGRP. So we've got a really, really good show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about attitudes and primarily the I hate Monday syndrome that has permeated our society over the last many years to the point where it's usually a topic of discussion early in the week about Mondays through the end of the week about Mondays. And I have to confess that I'm probably or was probably one of the worst individuals around this I hate Monday scenario. It had even gotten to the point over many years where by Sunday at noon, I was already starting to fret and worry about what events or things would be called upon me come Monday morning. And I'm sure a lot of you out there probably have felt the same way. Now, over the last couple of years, I've made a different choice not to let that affect me. And we're going to be talking about some of the tips from our guest who will be on after the first break, Miss Jude Bijou, who's an award-winning author and has written a wonderful book called Attitude Reconstruction. And like I said, we'll be talking to her right after the first break. But relative to attitude, I would like to discuss maybe some things that are inspirational. Now, you know, we all have the curveballs that come at us all the time, either through work or through just life in general. And maintaining a good attitude, a good thought around those times is sometimes pretty challenging to do. But I thought I'd discuss some individuals who are truly inspirational and give you an insight to some of the challenges that they may have had and their ability to maintain, you know, a positive to even great attitude about their circumstance and their lives in general. Now, the first one, and I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, if you've heard the name Elizabeth Murray, but she was born in September of 1980. To a pair of very, very poor and drug-addicted parents who both later in life would contract HIV. She became homeless just after the age of 15. Now imagine, ladies and gentlemen, a 15-year-old that's homeless. You know, you can think back on your childhood, your home life, albeit whether it was dysfunctional or not, but think for a moment of being 15 years old and being homeless. At 15, her mother died of AIDS, and her father moved them permanently into a homeless shelter. You know, for now, Liz fought through some incredible and difficult circumstances and was able to start attending the Humanities Preparatory Academy in Chelsea, Manhattan. Now, even though she started high school late in life and still had no stable home, she was supporting herself and her sister. She was able to graduate the preparatory school in 2 years. She was then awarded the New York Times Scholarship for Needy Students and accepted into, of all places, Harvard University, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's a 15-year-old that's not only supporting herself, but supporting her sister, and was still able, albeit homeless, to go through high school, go through preparatory school in 2 years. Now, you know, you just reflect on your own circumstance, and I don't know about you, but for me, that, you know, a lot of the circumstances that I've fretted over and probably to this day, you know, continue to fret on, don't even begin to compare to being, you know, homeless and the other circumstances that, you know, Elizabeth Murray, you know, fought through. She started Harvard in the fall semester of 2000. In 2006, her father died of AIDS. And that's the same year she returned to Harvard, and she graduated in June of 2009. Now, since her graduation, she started taking graduate courses and is working on a doctorate degree in clinical psychology because she wants to start counseling people. She is the founder and director of Manifest Living that provides a series of workshops that empower adults to create the extraordinary things in their life. They've also made a TV movie about her life, and she's also written a best-selling book called Breaking Night. Now, in addition to all of that, her older sister also graduated from Purchase College in New York and is now a school teacher for autistic children. It's just incredible. Now, you see these two sisters from this incredible circumstance doing extraordinary things, and it makes you have to wonder. I know I have to sit back from time to time and actually begin to wonder about why I'm letting some of these issues bother me, get in my way. It's just extraordinary. Now, the next person I would like to introduce you to from an inspirational standpoint is a man by the name of Nick, and I'm probably going to mess up his name, Vujicic, Nick Vujicic, who was born with a rare tetraamelia disorder, lives in Melbourne, Australia, but he was born without either arm and one small foot on his leg. But despite the absence of these limbs, he still surfs, swims, plays golf and soccer. Graduated from college at 21 with a double major in accounting and financial planning, and now does motivational speaking for people to, you know, help them, you know, get inspired. Now, here again, ladies and gentlemen, you have an individual with these extraordinary, you know, limbless, you know, situation. And again, you have to take a step back and really examine, you know, some of the things that are, you know, frustrating you. Now, I know most of you out there, have both arms, both legs, and the ability, hopefully, to do just about anything you want to do. But what we end up doing for the most part, ladies and gentlemen, is confining ourselves and not releasing the true extraordinary person that we really are. We sit here and we ball ourselves up. We allow other people to control who and what we are by ingesting their judgments or whatever their agenda may be, which just limits our true ability. Now, the next person that I wanted to bring to you that I found just absolutely extraordinary was Randy Pasich. Now, I don't know if you know of Randy's story or not, but you may. Randy Pausch was an American professor of computer sciences at Carnegie Mellon University. He learned that he had pancreatic cancer in September of 2006. Now, there was a book written as well, but he gave a lecture called The Last Lecture, Really Achieving Your Childhood Dreams, in September of 2007 at Carnegie Mellon. I would encourage any and all of you to take a moment and go out and search. You can find this. Go out and search on YouTube, and you can find this last lecture. It lasts about an hour, but this is from a man that had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and his attitude was probably more positive, more engaging, more inspiring than just about anybody I've ever heard. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but if somebody came up, if a doctor came up to me and said, you've got, you know, only a few months to live, I don't know that I'd have the kind of energy, inspiration to go out and motivate people in the way that Randy did. But that's exactly what he did. He went out and motivated people. Randy passed away from complications of pancreatic cancer in July of 2008. But if you listen to his lecture, the last lecture, he basically talks about realizing all of his childhood dreams. For example, zero gravity, playing in the National Football League, being the author of the World Book Encyclopedia article, meeting Captain Kirk, so on and so forth. The point here is, ladies and gentlemen, that we're restricting ourselves. We're restricting our creativity. It's like we talked about last week. You know, you have the three stages. You have thoughts, words, and action. And I think we need to really start, you know, paying attention to some of the choices that we've made. I mean, just, you know, you can look around yourself today and you have to wonder about what's going on and so forth with everything. But the issue then comes up with, if, you know, thoughts are energy and we create our circumstance, then you would almost have to believe it some very root level that we're at where we're at because that's where people want to be. And to me, I find that somewhat distressing, that people actually want what's going on today around us, whether it's the economy, whether it's politics, whatever it may be, that people right now, their choice is the frustration, the fear, all of the other parts and pieces that are going on in everyone's life. And I would challenge those of you that are listening, and perhaps you want to give me a call, that we need to start choosing differently, that we have the ability to choose differently. And I believe that once we start making different choices and start affirming the positives and not affirming the negatives, that things will begin to change. Now, our guest, coming up after the break, is Ms. Jude Bijou. She's a psychotherapist and has written an award-winning, like I said, and best-selling book called Attitude Reconstruction. She's going to offer up some tips and things that we can use in the workplace, in life, to start, you know, start this evolutionary process where people aren't focused on just the negative items, but can start refocusing on the positive items. And maybe we can start getting rid of this I hate Monday syndrome that has so permeated our culture. You're listening to Clarity from Chaos on Talk Zone Radio. Back in a moment.
And now, more Clarity from Chaos on TalkZone.com. Here's Dave Campbell.
Welcome back, everybody. If you'd like to join the show, it's 1-888-GO-FOR-IT or 1-888-463-6748. Jude, how are you doing?
I'm just fine. Nice to be here with you today, David.
nice to hear you again. So how's things going? Well, I hope.
They're going very well here in California. I think you've moved, huh? Got a new location.
Nope. I'm in the same place. We just moved show platforms. We just moved show platforms. So this one is fabulous. I'm really enjoying the new venue. So
excellent.
Let's talk about this I Hate Mondays syndrome that has just absolutely permeated the culture.
Well, should we talk about some of the symptoms that people can see if they can identify with that might indicate whether they have that?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Well, if you feel bored, maybe you feel anxious, frustrated, negative, lack of enthusiasm, uninspired, ambivalent, all of those kind of things that you can feel that make you not go, boy, I can't wait to get to work. I can't wait to deal with what's on my plate.
Yep. And I think unfortunately that's been exacerbated over the last several years due to, you know, external forces to a certain extent, right?
Yes, that's true. But what also has happened is we've let those attitudes that I just described, those feelings, overtake our moving forward in a positive direction.
Right. So how do we deal with them, Jude?
Well, there's several ways. I think that the first is to get that we have emotions that we're not taking care of about our work. And that if we handle the emotions, like when we think about the word emotion, it's emotion, energy in motion. So we do have thoughts, words, and actions, but we also have emotions. And those emotions, that energy in our body is permeating our mind when we don't deal with that energy constructively. So we have sadness about work. Maybe we don't want to be there. Or we have anger. Maybe we're frustrated because the boss is always on our case, or the coworker is like this, or the work is like that. Or we can feel fear. Maybe there's too much pressure. We're not dealing with the emotions.
So we're not dealing with the energy around the emotions, right?
No, it's actually that the emotions are energy. Emotions are a pure physiology in the body.
Right.
Instead of dealing with that sadness or anger or fear, we get mental and we create, oh, I hate that. Oh, that person just drives me nuts. Oh, nothing's going to work out. We're creating all of the negative ways we think and we feel because we're not taking care of that pure energy, that emotional energy in the body.
Okay, so what are some, you know, relatively, maybe not easy methods of dealing with that, but what are some of the things that an individual can do?
Well, let's start with fear, because when we experience things like being anxious about work or feeling overwhelmed, which is one of those kind of, some of the feelings that we feel that make us start to feel like we're in a rut and we don't want to go back to work, we can deal with the fear. And what does the fear feel like in our body? It's that agitated energy. What we do is we tighten up rather than be like a dog at the vet. What does the dog do? It shakes and shivers, right? And that's what we need to do. It sounds so silly, but it's so simple and so effective to just take a minute before going to work, before sitting at your desk, and just shake out that energy out your hands really quickly, or out your legs, or up the spine, or in the neck, or in the face, and just shake and shiver for just a couple minutes. Make some sounds, woo, 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 and get that energy, shake that out of the body. and you will feel that there's a lot more calm that's restored just by moving that energy.
Okay, is there any, I mean, you know, obviously you're not, you don't want to dissipate that energy on somebody else. Is that the only, you know, is meditation a vehicle for moving that away, or?
No, I'd say meditation definitely has its place, but this is pure energy in the body. And you're right, we can't do that in the middle of the office. That's not an appropriate place. But at work, we can always go into the bathroom and shake for a minute if we're dealing with fear. Or we can go out to the car or behind our building or whatever, or before we go into work and just shake for a minute to just let that energy out, and we'll find that we have our clarity is increased. We feel more calm and more relaxed because we move that energy. But that doesn't do any good if I'm feeling frustrated at work, which is a feeling that's associated with the emotion of anger. Shaking and shivering is not going to do much to dissipate that. So if I'm feeling angry, frustrated, disappointed, all those kind of things, I need to find a way to move that energy out physically. And so maybe before we get to work, before Monday morning, we stomp around a little bit like a child who has a temper tantrum. We move that energy out of the body. We stomp. We scream. We pound on something, or we push against a wall. Just move that energy physically while just going, oh, just making sounds, because it's just, there's not words. We don't have to rehearse all the things that are frustrating. Just move that energy out of the body. Oh, oh, for just literally 2 minutes, not even that. And again, we feel more open. We feel more ready to do what we need to do in that day or that morning or whatever.
Okay. How about, you know, if you just, you know, feel, you know, meaningless, you know, that you're just there to, you know, punch the time clock, that, you know, there's no real value there?
Well, on an emotional level, it could be that we need to deal with a little bit of the anger, the little that we feel, or maybe we need to have a good cry, and then that will help to clean us a little bit. But there's something that's all on the emotional level. But there's
right.
there's other ways, and one of the ways to recalibrate is to take a little bit of time and either remember or get in touch with our purpose. And this is a big topic, purpose. But why am I on the planet? Why am I really here? And that if we keep asking ourselves, I say just for a minute or two every day, why am I here? What do I want? What is my reason for being here? That if we keep asking, an answer will come clear. It might be that we decide our purpose is to help others. We might decide our purpose is to be more loving, maybe to make a contribution. If we can get clear about what our purpose is, then we can hold on to that and say, well, how am I, if my thing is to help others, how can I help other people today? So now,
yeah,
rather
but
than
that takes an awful lot of courage and a great deal of honesty, right? Because this is not without a lot of effort. If you truly sit there and listen to what your inner voice is telling you, sometimes it's a divergent path, right?
Well, but purpose is larger than that. I think you're talking about intuition here, where I'm talking about, like, why am I on the planet? And that's something that won't change. You know, maybe it could change over the years, but really it's sort of like we need to ask that question, that really basic question, because we can use that as an anchor. Well, why am I here? And then we can embody that in our work, because instead of getting caught in the mundane and what we don't like, what makes us feel like, oh, I'm in a rut, we can shift that energy to go, oh, well, my purpose is to be very present. I want to be present and enjoy every moment of the life. So then if that's my purpose, that's what I need to focus on today. not how much I hate doing this and what a drag and I've done this 100 times. I need to go, I want to be present. My job today while I'm doing my work is to be present.
Yeah, I think that's part of the issue. I think that you see, that I see on a day-to-day basis, is people aren't really present in what they're doing. They're just kind of sitting there, you know, manifesting themselves somewhat as a robot, I guess, is for lack of a better term.
Yes, yes. And how much joy are we losing in that way? You know, to just be going through the motions, that autopilot. We're not really connecting with what's going on. And we really have to find a way that we can get bigger than those feelings. Oh, my coworker is just, you know, talking behind my back or trying to sabotage me. Or, again, I have too much to do or too many calls to make, and I hate to make calls. We need to go to something bigger and hold on to that.
Yeah, I think unfortunately in a lot of industries, at least in today's environment, though, I think a lot of that is fear-based, that's been injected into the work stream. And, you know, I think it has somewhat frozen people from taking a step back and creatively believing, because you have to kind of somewhat step outside of the circle to bring your A game all of the time. And I think a lot of people are just in this kind of heads down kind of environment. It's kind of like, you know, they're afraid that, you know, don't pick me kind of an attitude. And that if they start, you know, projecting, start moving forward, that they're going to get flagged somewhat. And then if they make a mistake, you know, they're going to be on the chopping block.
Yes, I think that it is easy to take the low road.
Right.
But I think that if we really want to feel good and to feel fresh and to feel enthusiastic, even if we've been in a job for 10 years, we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone.
Okay.
And so something has to shift. Something in my head has to shift, because maybe it is we need a new job. That's what we could talk about that. But it also is, all right, I know I need to stay in this job. What am I going to do differently so that I'm creating a different reality for myself?
When we come back from the break, we're going to have more with Jude. You're listening to Clarity from Chaos on Talk Zone Radio.
This is Clarity from Chaos on TalkZone.com with your host, Dave Campbell.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Clarity from Chaos. I'm Dave Campbell. If you'd like to join the show, it's 1-888-GO-FOR-IT, 1-888-463-6748. And we're talking to Miss Jude Bijou about workplace relationship tips and things you can do. What about alignment of your goals, Jude?
Well, sometimes we have to take a job because we know we need money. We've got to pay the rent. We've got to put food on the table. And it might not be our ultimate goal, but what we need to do is figure out, how can I be developing some of the qualities that I want to be good at long term, so that instead of it being mundane and, again, you know, resisting the day's work, what can I do? Maybe it's, say you're working in a coffee shop. Maybe it's like, this is a good time to practice my observation skills or my people skills or my attention to detail skills. What's my goal? Well, my goal is I'd like to have my own business. Well, what can I learn here that will help me and be fodder for the goals that I have for myself long term? So again, it's reframing what's going on rather than just paying attention to, oh, it's a drag and I hate to be on my feet for all of those hours. Use today's work to take you in the direction of your goals. And so it could be, well, my goal is to be an artist, but here I am in a coffee shop. I say, make sure you do some art on the weekend or afterwards. Set aside time for yourself so that you're working toward your goal. Whether you can work, you know, with maybe if I want to be a cartoonist, well, I'm getting ideas at work. But use your goals.
Right. Yeah, I think what's really important, Jude, is to write these goals down, because it releases so much energy when you do that. When you actually write something down, you just don't think about it, right?
I think that's a great idea. And both my short-term goals, like maybe 6 months from now or 1 month from now, and my longer-range goals, because then, like you say, you have it in front of me. You can put it on your refrigerator or on a bulletin board or in a daytimer or wherever, so you keep remembering, that's where I'm headed. And you can see it in concrete terms. I think that's excellent.
Yeah, I think it keeps it in that front piece of your brain, right between your eyes, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Rather than, because we get too caught up in, I feel miserable today. Oh, I didn't get enough sleep. I don't want to do this. Rather than get bigger, get expand out. Well, it's going
right.
to take me toward where I want to go.
Yeah, and I think we need to be gentle with ourselves, too, and not use it as a vehicle to beat ourselves over the head with, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Because I think we all do that. Well, I didn't do this today, so therefore I'm a rotten individual. You know, you need to be a little kinder to yourself that, you know, okay, you know, you chose something differently, you didn't do it, and you need to get back to it. Now, I'm not advocating you being, you know, procrastinating or so on and so forth. You need to focus on what you're doing. But I think a lot of times, I know myself, you know, I use those written down things to, you know, beat myself over the head with and not really use them, you know, as creatively or proactively as I should.
Yes, it's so easy, both that we can get down on ourselves and we can get down on the job itself. And both
right.
of those ways are not going to help us have a good day.
So let's talk about, you know, if you're in a place and you want to move to a different place, you know, a new job, How do you take inventory of where you're at versus where you want to be? I know you've got some thoughts around it, so maybe you could, you know, help the audience a little bit, because I'm sure a lot of them are in positions right now where they don't want to be, but they don't quite know how to get where they want to be.
I think that the first thing to do is to see whether is it time to leave this job. Do I, you know, is it that I need to change my thinking and embrace it, or is it time to leave and look for something else? And the way to do that is, one is to check in with your intuition, not when you're feeling frustrated, not when you're feeling like your resistance is down, but in those clearer moments, we can ask ourselves, do I need to make something good out of this? Or is it time to look for something else? And if we're not getting a clear answer from our intuition, from that inner sense, inner being, then we can just keep asking, because an answer will usually come up. But the other is what I call, we can grade our current work. And you do that by, again, with the pencil and paper, write down all the qualities if you could have the best job in the world. If you could have your ideal job, it might not be the best job in the whole world, but for you, it would be very, very satisfying, and it would fulfill you. Write down all the qualities that job would have. And then
right.
maybe 30 items, something like that. Oh, I want flexible hours. I want a casual attire. I want an opportunity to travel, whatever. I want coworkers, whatever your qualities are, then you can rate your current job against your ideal. And so if the job that you now have has the quality, give yourself a 1 for that quality. If it doesn't have it at all, give it a 0.
Okay.
And if it has it somewhat, give yourself a half.
Yep.
So basically, you're grading your current job against your ideal. And what you do, you add up all those ones and one halves, and you come up with a number, and you divide that with by the number of items that you have, and you'll come up with a percent.
Right.
Now, maybe what you realize is that this job it really only has 50% of what I'm looking for. Now, that's sort of a failing grade. If you get a 50 on your papers, if you get below
right.
60, you got an F, right?
Right. Listen, today's modern education, Jude, where everything's on an upside-down bell curve or whatever it is now, right?
Right.
You know, everybody wins now. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because what happens if you grade your work against your ideal, you can get yourself an objective thing. Maybe you really realize that you have 80% or 85% of what you're really looking for, or even 90%. Your problem has been you've been focused on that 15% that's lacking. And then, so maybe if you grade it, you realize, oh, wow, this is really close to what I want. I need to just not pay so much attention to what's not working, or figure out ways to work with and change what's not working.
Right.
But if your score is really low, then it's like, all right, it's probably time to get dust off my resume and see what I can find that will be more closely aligned to what I really want in an ideal job, because we spend a lot of time there.
Right. Well, we're starting to run out of time, Jude. Let's talk about just accepting reality. You know, the old A equals A routine, and helping individuals, you know, in our audience recognize that and how to move through it with it.
Yes, because this is so important, and this really is when we feel a lot of frustration. We have all the lists that go into the shoulds. Well, this person should be like that, and I shouldn't
right.
have to do this. All those shoulds are really what create our own anger and our own frustration, because we're not accepting reality. And I say, make a list. The air conditioning shouldn't be on all of the time. My boss shouldn't leave and not say where he's going and when he'll be back. All the things. My secretary should be able to type without errors. All of those kind of things that should be different. Make a list. Again, write them down. Make a list
right.
of everything that should be different. And then we have to apply the very wonderful reality. People and things are the way they are, not the way I want them to be. And we take each quality. The air conditioner is the way it is, not the way I want it to be. The air conditioner is the way it is, not the way I want it to be. We have to accept it rather than keep complaining about it. If we've already tried
right.
to get it to change and it won't, we need to accept it. We need to accept all the things that we think should be different. And if we accept, then we can figure out, now what do I need to do? Sometimes when we accept, we don't need to do anything. Now we just feel more easy about it. But when we accept, then, I need to go and talk to my boss about needing more or wanting more appreciations, whatever
right.
it is. But I have to first accept that he doesn't appreciate me very much. Then what do I need to do? But acceptance is the basis for not feeling so frustrated and so angry.
Yeah, and I don't think acceptance is, you know, if you're in a crappy situation, You don't have to stay in a crappy situation, but there, to your point, there's a lot of situations that may, it's the grass is greener, right, on the other side. They may not be quite as crappy as you think they are once you put them down on paper and think through them. Now, that's
right.
not to say that you're not in a, if you're in a crappy situation, then like we talked about before, you know, choose to do something differently. I mean, your foot, even though you think it may be, is not nailed to the floor. You can choose differently. It's going to take a little courage and effort, but you can do that.
You've nailed it exactly. First accept, and then you could figure out, well, what do I need to do? Do I need to move on, or do I need to just focus on something else, or do I need to speak up? Do I need to try to do something about it?
No, exactly. Well, unfortunately, Jude, we've run out of time. How can people reach out? I know I have your book posted on my blog site, which, by the way, is a marvelous read. Give the audience a place that they can contact you.
Okay. On my website, which is www.attitudereconstruction.com, what you can find is a free survey to help you pinpoint very quickly what attitudes are not serving you very well. And then you can also go to an article that will tell you some very practical tips to get over those attitudes. So that's on www.attitudereconstruction.com.
Well, it's been a marvelous conversation, as usual, Jude. I want to thank you so much for spending a few moments with us.
It's been, once again, my pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Have a great rest of the week and weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Take care. You're listening to Clarity from Chaos on Talk Zone Radio.
Welcome back to Clarity from Chaos on TalkZone.com. Here's Dave Campbell.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed Jude. She's a marvelous lady, and like I said, the book Attitude Reconstruction is a great read and will give you an awful lot of fabulous information to help you move along and foster a much more positive attitude. Came across an article that I thought went very well with today's show topic that I thought I'd bring to you, and I'm also going to post this up on my blog site so you can go up and get it and read it at your own convenience. It's written by Simona Rich, and the title of the article is How One Can Easily Slip Into Negativity. And we all know that's easily done. All you have to do is hit the on button on your television set when you come home to relax, and you're just immediately bombarded with the today's blood sport that they call the news and everything else. So the negativity, unfortunately, is becoming more and more reinforced, which I thought would be a good segue into talking about this particular article. Because it's very easy to slip into negativity, yet it's extremely difficult to get out. For the pessimists out there, it's very hard to become positive. And for the optimists, it can be much easier to fall into the rut of negativity. And unfortunately, all of it just takes a little bit of lack of insight for it to happen. You know, every day your positivity is tested. I mean, you know, you see people, you know, very, you know, happy-go-lucky individuals. Even those individuals, you know, have their moments. And if you think about it, you know, even if you allow one time a day to be negative, you know, whether it's a reply to somebody in anger or to complain about something, the unfortunate part about negativity is it's just like every other habit, ladies and gentlemen. It makes it easier the next time to slip into the negativity trousers. And not to offend you women out there, you can slip into a negativity dress. But before you know it, your normal happy-go-lucky positive attitude has slipped into the realm of negativity. You know, and hence the old adage, you know, misery loves company, because everybody out there, yeah, your loved ones, people close to you, people not close to you, they all want to whiz in your Wheaties because somebody has whizzed in their Wheaties And, you know, they don't want somebody standing out the, outside of the circle. They want everybody inside of the circle being unhappy, so on and so forth. And if you're standing outside of the circle with a smile on your face, you're obviously an oddity. Now, it takes an extremely long time to get into the habit of being positive. You have to start dumping all of those negative thoughts. You have to start replacing the traits in your personality, such, you know, like self-pity, the level of arrogance, wanting to control people, so on and so forth. And removing those negative traits is extremely difficult, and it doesn't happen overnight. This is a choice and an effort that's, you know, ongoing every day. Because you're constantly being bombarded or influenced by mediocrity. I mean, just look around you. We talked about it with Jude. The mediocrity abounds, ladies and gentlemen. And to foster that positive personality and not be defeated by that mediocrity takes a great deal of effort. And I know from experience, it can be exhausting, folks. It can be really exhausting. So what do you do? What do you do to start slipping out of the negativity and start becoming more and more positive? Well, one of the things, and I've talked about it and will continue to talk about it, and that is to turn down all of the white noise around you. Because like I said a minute ago, the news today, most of the media has turned into a blood sport. There's very, very little positive that is discussed anymore. It's always this circumstance or that circumstance. You need to limit the exposure as much as you can to all of this. Start surrounding yourself with, you know, positive aspects. You know, work at developing a positive attitude and stop letting other people control your thoughts, because that's particularly everything that's going on these days, is somebody's trying to control you with their particular agenda. So I would say, you know, primarily start tuning down the white noise. I'm personally an advocate of meditation, but I don't know that you even need to do the meditation. You need to start backing away as much as you can, and even if it's incrementally, all of the negativity, and start supplementing that stuff with more and more positive things. And I think you'll find as time goes by, if you continue to do it, then you will start developing a much more positive attitude. And I think you will start to see things start to shift a lot differently, because we actually control, you know, our creative and well-being with our thoughts and actions. And the more positive your thoughts and actions are, the more positive your life will start to unfold. So I'd like to thank my guest, Jude Bijou. I'd like to thank Randy, who's sitting in for Dave. It's been a great show. I'd like to thank you, the audience. We'll be back next week on Clarity from Chaos. Have a great week, everybody.